This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Jerry Jones.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, LFG, best day of the week. And we just got Dibs to use the phrase must win.
No, I did not say must win.
No, you did. You said it's not a must win, but you did use the phrase.
Fair enough. Yeah. It's a bust win.
Yeah, but I think
if they don't win, then just forget your Super Bowl talk at 2-3. Miss me with that.
It's a fun phrase. It sounds like a hat. It's not a must win. It's a bust win. But to me, when you use the phrase, and I don't want to get into semantics, but if you use the phrase must win, like that means you're talking about the Super Bowl. So if you're selling the idea that if they lose this one, the Super Bowl is out, then I would say you are de facto using the phrase must win. But I do wonder.
You can de facto me all you want.
Why, facts
would be, and you can't spell de facto without fact, and the fact would be you're 0-2 in the division,
yeah.
And Arizona would leapfrog you, and Seattle's ahead of you, and you got a short week on the road at Seattle, and then you've got a negative rest disadvantage against Kansas City. They're coming off a bye. Without this game and a win, you're in a little bit of trouble here in the first half.
It's not great. I'm not going to argue that it's like, okay, if they go out and lose football games. Football games are incredibly urgent. All of them are very important. When they're in the division, they're more like a game and a half. I'll agree with you on all of those things. I just wonder why we keep trying to win the Super Bowl in September and October.
Not trying to win it now, just not trying to lose it now.
Yeah, but you won't. Like, I don't know how many times we need to learn this lesson that what's going on in the playoffs is not won or lost in the first quarter or even the first half of a season. Sure, if we're 9 games in and the Niners are 2-7, okay, we can have a conversation. But like this game, teams can look very different. Baltimore will go to the playoffs this year and look back and go, how the hell did we blow a 2-score lead in the fourth quarter at home to the Raiders? How do we do that? And the Niners will forever, no matter where this thing goes. What the hell actually happened there week 3 in L.A.?
Another blown 10-point lead by Shanahan.
How on earth did we lose that game? So there's going to be those. There's going to be those. But from the 2022 Warriors to, I don't know, the 2022 49ers, like how often do we have to learn that things can look very, very different 2 months from now than they do now? I would argue there is at least a solid chance that everything the 49ers are experiencing in camp and early in this season could end up making them that much more powerful in December and January. There's a scenario. I don't know about anyone's health. I can't make a prediction there. But there's a scenario that the December and January team has Christian McCaffrey and Dre Greenlaw on it, and D. Winters and Jordan Mason and all of these other people. Now Juwan Jennings, because of what's happened, there's a scenario that all of that depth is that much more experienced and better of a team because of the crap that you experienced in August and September.
There's also a scenario where you don't have McCaffrey, who's yet to play, and
sure,
you don't have Dre Greenlaw, who's yet to play, and your prized running back, who is number one in the league in carries, is, I don't know, worn out after 375 carries. So
sure,
we can play either side of that coin all we want about December and January and how it looks. I'm just saying, if you lose to Arizona at home, a team that you should beat anywhere you play them, and you are really good at home, and you've owned them the last 2 years, and they come in a spot where they're not as good as you are, even if Fred Warner's questionable and George Kittle questionable and McCaffrey's out and all the rest of it.
I'm with you until you get to this last sentence.
I don't need to even bring
it
home.
What does it mean? Yes, you do. What does it mean?
It means that you're not as good as we thought.
No, it means you blew this
Sunday. Right now in October.
There you go. It means you blew Sunday. So don't do that.
How many more Sundays can you blow before you start to think, huh, you know what? Maybe they're not going to be the team that we thought they were going to be.
Probably four.
Four more?
I mean,
or four total? Because they've already blown one.
They need to win at least 10 games.
Minnesota was not blown. You went to Minnesota and you lost to a good team.
Yeah, we
didn't
know that.
And turns out they're better than we thought.
Yeah.
And you're all welcome for Sam Darnold because I told you he was a good quarterback and none of you believe me.
Oh,
and now it's coming home to roost.
Who said he wasn't?
Welcome.
Who said he wasn't a good quarterback?
All y'all hating on the redhead.
All I ever said last year, and I've been proven correct, and you've never handed flowers to me, is that the 49ers would not look the same if Brock left and Sam came in.
He got one game and he played with a bunch of twos.
Right.
He had no starter with him.
Brock's a star. Brock's a star.
What's Sam Darnold?
A good quarterback.
Really good quarterback.
I mean,
he's a Pro Bowler this year.
Yeah.
He's in the MVP
a Pro
race.
Bowler. Half the quarterbacks are Pro Bowlers.
Whatever, a third. Something like that.
Anyway, yeah, I just, like, I know it's difficult, but, like, come on. Let's not make sentences from this Sunday about January. It is one little puzzle piece that will be helpful to win, and they should, and all of those things. But it doesn't have anything to do with the season is not won or lost. You're not a bust if you lose this game. You had a disappointing, crappy Sunday, pending how it went. Like, also, why? Why'd you lose? Did eight people go out injured? I don't know. Did somebody catch a Hail Mary? I have no idea what's
short
going on.
If your quarterback getting hurt, you have no excuses. Against Arizona.
Probably not. What if Fred Warner doesn't play and Kyler Murray torches him?
Well, then that's on Sorensen and the defense.
Okay.
You've got enough defensive help. You have enough good defensive players to where you should be able to survive without Fred Warner. And you look at what they did last Sunday without Fred Warner in the second half, and the defense looked pretty good.
Already up double digits against a team that is passing challenged.
Exactly.
Right. That's very different than what they're facing
Arizona
this weekend.
Arizona is not a highly vaunted passing offense.
They're a hell of a lot more dangerous than Jacoby Brissett.
Agreed, but it's not like they're going to step back and light you up like Patrick Mahomes. It still is Kyler Murray, and the biggest threat in this offense is James Conner, a 230-pound bulldozer, and Kyler Murray with his legs, and then Marvin Harrison, and then Trey McBride if he plays coming out of the protocol.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I find it to be a dangerous team. It's a dangerous team. We can do that. Well, how'd they look last week? Well, how'd they look the week before that? Well, how'd they look the week before that? How'd they look the week before that? Like, they are able, at times, to put up a lot of points. And let's not act like the 49er defense has looked like one thing all the time. They looked really good against the Jets. Then Sam Darnold at his own three suddenly became scary. Then Matt Stafford in the second half, with no weapons and no offensive line, started hucking the ball all over the place. And then one of the worst offenses in the league, and I told you this would happen, one of the worst offenses in the league will come in, and all of a sudden we'll spend a week going, Niner defense is back.
Look better.
Are they?
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they? Even Greg Cosell said it to us yesterday. I take something north of, but not much, something barely north of nothing from last week. If you can't play defense against that team, you can't be an NFL team. Like, they offer nothing. They have one good offensive weapon, and he fumbles once a game. Literally. You couldn't name a wide receiver on that team before they came to town. They don't have a quarterback. They've got a talented running back who can't hold on to the ball. There's no tight end. Half their offensive line left in the middle of the game. We're going to peacock around. Oh, the defense look good. You better look good against them. They're awful.
How many of those guys on offense are paid to play football?
All of them.
Thank you. So let's but just...
That's not a good measuring stick.
It is a measuring stick.
No, it's not, because that's true every week ever.
It's not like you're taking on West Texas A&M. You're taking on professional football players.
Yeah, okay.
And a professional team. And I don't think it's fair to just completely... And you can do whatever you want.
You're doing it for this weekend.
Well, I don't... This team is better.
They better win or else they're a bust.
They better win.
I mean...
They better win.
This team is absolutely more dangerous and more of a measuring stick to see where this defense actually is than the New England Patriots.
I'll give you that, but at the same time, you are at home against a team that you have dominated over the last 2 years, and I know every year is different, but you've got a defense, even without Fred Warner, that is much better now than it was 2 weeks ago, and you can discount New England all you want, and you look at the offense, and Debo's going to play. George Kittle, I would expect, will play. You're going to have Mason and Ayuk and Juwan Jennings, and you've got a quarterback who is a star. And all he's ever done is put up 30 points a game on average. I think he's averaging 29.7 in the games he started. So if you can't hold Arizona under 30, then I don't know what to tell you. I think they will.
Yeah, it's a really bad week.
This game feels like a 30-20 win. Easy. Yeah,
most of them do on Thursdays and Fridays, don't they? That's kind of the cadence of the 49ers.
Yeah, Minnesota was different.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I said most.
Yeah.
That's why I said most. Like most games, when you look at the cadence of how you feel they probably should end up, especially home games, with this version of the 49ers, I've made this comp before. It feels very much like Pete Carroll's USC. Director of Sports Lucas Alexander will start listening to the show as I make this point. Like, it was very... Everybody had the same score prediction when Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, and Lendale White, and Strike Up the Band, and Traveler, and all that was going on. It was always like you'd go around on the radio and do your score prediction, and everybody had the same one. They would just change the second number a little bit. It's 48-10. It's 45-13. 46-17, Mark. It's all the same thing. If you score on the majority of your drives, maybe some are field goals instead of touchdowns, what have you, the other teams is going to sneak in for a couple of scores. Maybe they get a turnover and turn it into three scores. But look at last week's final score, and that's kind of the average of what a 49er game should look like if it sort of kind of goes the way it should go, right? Niners should be in the neighborhood of 30, and the other team should be in the neighborhood of 14-17. That's kind of the way a Niner game should go most of the time, I feel.
You would guess, but Arizona's offense is better, so you can understand that they might score a little bit more than 14 or 17, but you should still get your 30 because Arizona's defense is not that great.
I'll agree with that.
And you've got everybody short of Christian McCaffrey, and I do believe George Kittle will play. And if you've got Debo and Ayuk, and, you know, this is the week, Mark, this is the week for Brandon Ayuk to have that breakout game.
Oh,
and I'll be honest with you, I'm sick and tired of, and shout out Guru and Prize Picks, and every week I do my Prize Picks lineup.
Do you bet on it?
Oh, yeah.
What are his numbers like normally?
Hey. Normally it's like 5.5 catches. Okay. Or,
and you've been betting the over each week?
Last week, actually, I bet the over a half a touchdown. I thought, you know what, this is the week. And he had a chance.
When he caught that
your guy threw it into double coverage. He wasn't even open.
Well, no, what about
Brock threw it up for grabs.
Did your heart skip on the opening play?
Yeah, the 36-yarder.
Like, he turned right?
That's a long way to go for a touchdown.
But you didn't know on TV if there's a defender there or not.
Right.
And if he's going to get blocked.
He would have had to go another 40 yards to get to the hizzy, but I was like, okay, at the very least, all right, good start.
They got the rapport back.
They're going to target Brandon today. I like my chances. Let me look at my other prize picks.
One more catch. What's his over-under on yardage usually?
I'll look.
What is it for this weekend?
I'll punch it up. Sometimes they don't come out till tomorrow, but I'll look because normally it's in that 55-60 range. I wonder if it hasn't gone down.
How would you react if there is the quote-unquote breakout game? Like, what would you say on Monday? B.A. does 6 catches for 120 and a score.
Yeah.
What's the thought?
Oh, he's back.
Okay.
He back. He's back.
All right.
And honestly, my big thing would be the connection between Brock and Brandon, and I know Brock's going to talk today in about an hour after practice. And
Brock talk.
I hope in Brock talk today, I hope that somebody asks him about Brandon and like, are you guys just not quite in sync, same page, pick your cliche, because I'm not seeing them in lockstep. Brandon's only catching 52% of his targets right now, and I do think that the blame falls with both of them, including your guy, Purdy, your guy.
Yeah, you're damn right.
That's
my guy.
Find my guy, B.A., Brock.
Yeah.
Intentionally thrown it wide of him to make my guy look bad.
He is struggling, that Brock Purdy, the whole leading the NFL and everything guy. All right, that segment is sponsored by Frontier Ford. The end of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now's the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com. Okay, check it out. Great guest list today, by the way. Mark Schlereth in a half hour. GP2 from Hawaii is going to be in the 4 o'clock hour. He's always a blast. That'll be fun. We'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. And just ponder this, and then we'll talk about it next. You're free to call in. What do you think's going on with Brandon? What do you think's going on? What do you see if you were to try to do the amateur psychoanalysis? 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dibs.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.